Over the years, I think Jonah has become my favorite prophet. And that's why I wanted to be sure we read the whole story of Jonah this morning, because it's a great story. And the least interesting part is Jonah in the belly of the whale, if you ask me, the part that we all know. Jonah is such a wonderfully human prophet. Now, it's worth noting there is just one mention of Jonah in the Old Testament other than in this book. 2 Kings mentions Jonah, son of Amittai, as a prophet during the reign of King Jeroboam. And many scholars, and you might not be surprised to hear this, given the rather fantastic nature of the story of Jonah, many scholars believe this book of Jonah is not meant to be taken as history, but as a parable. Either way, I think there's certainly some interesting lessons in the story of Jonah. Even just the way it begins, there's some lessons, or maybe some ways for us to identify with Jonah. He gets the call of God. Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach their destruction. Now, it should be pointed out that Nineveh, and this is approximately where the modern-day city of Mosul in Iraq is located, in Syria is located. Or is it Iraq or Syria? Iraq, thank you. Okay. It was part of the Assyrian Empire at the time. This is the problem with me trying to do all this from memory. Iraq, Syria, it all kind of runs together. It's part of the Assyrian Empire at the time, though. Assyrian Empire, which was the dreaded enemy of Israel. I mean, this was the enemy for the nation of Israel. So Jonah's being told, go into the heart of the biggest city in the empire of your greatest enemy and preach destruction. Is it any wonder that Jonah turns and runs in the opposite direction? But this is also not unusual for people to do when God calls upon them. I think to a person, every single person in my class of seminary had a story about how they had either run away from the call of God or wanted to run away from the call of God. So Jonah flees, takes a ship, goes in the opposite direction towards Tarshish. God sends a storm to try to turn the ship around. And it's an interesting moment because, I don't know about you, it always reminds me of that moment when Jesus is in the ship with his disciples during a storm. The details are eerily similar. Jesus is also asleep, as Jonah is during this storm. You may remember in the case of Jesus, he gets up and calms the storm. In Jonah's case, they cast lots and say, look, we've decided this is your fault. And Jonah says, all right, throw me into the sea and the storm will calm. And now before you start thinking, oh, Jonah's a very noble guy for saying this, he might be. I suspect, though, he still is so reluctant to go to Nineveh that he'd rather die than go there. So they throw him into the sea, and God sends a big fish, a whale, to swallow Jonah and rescue him. 3 days in the belly of a whale is probably preferable to drowning. In the belly of the whale, Jonah prays. And we didn't read his prayer, but I would encourage you to read it. It reminds me of many of the Psalms. It both kind of blames God for all this happening and yet also says, but I'm sorry, God, and now I'll do what you say. So God has the fish vomit Jonah up on dry land. Now, if you ever think you've had a bad day, think about Jonah, who has just been thrown up by this fish. He's covered in fish vomit on the shore of the land of Israel's dire enemies. But to Jonah's credit, he goes to Nineveh, and he walks through the city and preaches perhaps the shortest sermon in recorded history. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. fire and brimstone at its best. Not much hope. And yet, the people respond. To a person, the people respond. The king responds. A verse that we didn't include today says, even the animals respond. The people put on sackcloth and ashes. They put sackcloth and ashes on their animals. They all repent. It's the greatest success in the history of prophecy. Everyone repents. And Jonah gets ticked off. Why? Because he thinks God's made him look like a fool. I knew what was going to happen, Jonah says. I knew you were a loving, gracious, merciful God. And it makes me angry. And God says, rightfully so, is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah goes and sulks out in the desert. At this point, you may be reminded of some other stories in Scripture, like the elder son and the prodigal son story, or those workers in the vineyard who get upset because they've worked all day and the owner is gracious enough to the other workers to give them the same pay. You can almost see Jonah sitting out there in that desert, mumbling to himself. And so God sends a plant to give him shade. And Jonah's happy about the plant, finally. I think it's the only moment in the story Jonah's happy. And then God, and I love how the book says it, God sends a worm that eats the plant dies, and Jonah gets mad again. Now he took away my plant. And God says, is it right for you to be angry? You didn't make the plant. And you seem to care more about this plant than you do about the 120,000 people in Nineveh and the animals. And I imagine even as the book ends that Jonah's still sitting there going, yeah, but still, I like my plant. Wish I was back home. It's a wonderful story. I think it's a very human story. And I think among its lessons may be this reaction that Jonah keeps having. This anger. Have you ever gotten angry when someone else got blessed? You ever gotten angry at someone else's good fortune? Have you ever gotten angry by the idea that other people, people you don't like, people you don't agree with, people that don't look like you or act like you might also be loved by God, might even be saved by God? I mean, that's Jonah's real complaint. How dare God save all these people and love them? Have you ever been bothered to think about certain people that they might be loved by God? Tea Party Republicans, loved by God. Liberal Democrats, loved by God. Homosexuals, Latinos, welfare recipients. Those people that annoy you every day at work, loved by God. Saved by God. Part of the point of this story, I think, the message, is God can love and save anyone God wants. And that often makes us angry. How dare God be loving and gracious and merciful? Those people don't deserve it. And then you might hear God saying, yeah, but do you deserve it? Do you have any right to be angry? And I love Jonah's response, of course. It might be our response sometimes. Yes, I have every right to be angry. But you know, it's also interesting in this story. I mean, Jonah is such a jerk. And yet God continues to love Jonah. God continues to interact with and be compassionate and merciful to Jonah as well. That's good news for those of us who have a little Jonah inside of us. The message of this wonderful story goes so far beyond the belly of the whale. It's about God's incredible, amazing, overwhelming, unexpected, surprising, even frustrating love. That God doesn't follow our rules. God doesn't follow our distinctions. God even changes God's mind. And God will love and save and be compassionate to whomever God wants. That might mean everybody. No matter what we think. Now that might sound a little fishy to you. But believe this, it's nothing to wail about. Amen.